Well, I feel like a lot of old time music is it's just really sad, and it's easy for me to relate to. And I like something that tears me up or something that like makes me feel things, because in today's world, it's really hard to feel things. It's you got to like go out of your way to make sure that you're feeling things.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to episode number 15 of the Cornbread Cafe. Located at the five corners of Americana, blues, country, folk, and gospel. And sometimes you can catch an express to rock and roll at the bus stop across the way. I am, of course, your host, The Mongrel, a.k.a. JV. And I am delighted to have you with me for what's going to be an amazing show. In addition to just a truckload of amazing American Roots tunes, I have for you portions of a long-awaited interview that I conducted with Sierra Farrell, who is the real deal. A brilliant songwriter, as she plucks stories and imagery from her heart and from her lived experiences in a way that will make her music songs that you will not likely soon forget. So stay tuned for that. Because this is such a jam-packed episode, I'll keep my chatter to a minimum. In fact, let's get to some tunes right now. We'll hear from Buffalo, New York-based Americana folk duo The Rightly So with Not Coming Home, from their most recent release, Vandura. I'll have more to say about this act on a future show, because this whole album feels like this old, comfortable sweater that you thought you'd lost. But for now, we'll be satisfied with the tune. First, though, opening the show today is an artist who showed up on our radar through our partnership with Reverb Nation, the web's premier discovery and promotions platform for music artists. Reverb Nation believes that do-it-yourself shouldn't mean you're all alone. Artists really can build their career with Reverb Nation's easy-to-use services and exclusive industry access, which is exactly how I came across Aaron Gibney, whose recent alt-country single Boys Think comes on the heels of her well-received 2018 EP Bold. Let's hear that right now, right here on the Cornbread Cafe.
Boys think that I want jewelry when I want stories, 'cause I crave life, no, an expensive price. Boys think that I am lonely when I'm just for me, 'cause I want more than just the sheets on the floor. Boys think that I am broken, I am perfect, when I'm just human, flesh and bone, heart and soul. Boys think that I am different than I am, too complicated, out of hand. Boys think that I want some different life when I'm still me, just craving free. Boys think, oh, 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 oh. Boys think. Boys think that I don't care, they can't see I am scared to disappoint myself, but think that I need help. Boys think I should drop my guard, I guess it's not that hard. Boys think that I am different than I am, too complicated, out of hand. Boys think that I want some different life I'm still me, just craving free. Boys think, boys think, oh boys think, boys think, oh, 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 oh. Boys think that I am different than I am, too complicated, out of that I want some different life when I'm still me, just craving free. Boys think, oh, 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 oh. Boys think that I am different than I am, too complicated, out of hand. Boys think that I want some different life when I'm still me, just craving free. Boys think,
I'm not coming home, not this time. I'm finally closing that door. Ain't got much to say since I'm going away. Don't have to pretend anymore. I'm not turning in, not this time. I ain't got a place to lay down. I'll sleep when I'm dead in a riverside grave, a million miles from this town. But I tried, I think that's worth something. I tried. As I wish that I could, you taste like heaven, but burn like a poison. Your flames, and I'm nothing but wood. But I try, and I think that's worth something. I'm finally closing that door. Ain't got much to say since I'm going away. Don't have to pretend anymore.
That's Gregory Zeiss and Jess Chizik performing as The Rightly So. Now, I don't know if you hear what I hear in Zeiss's voice, but I think that they simply must cover some early John Denver on their next album. Now, however, I am so thrilled to bring you the conversation that I had with Sierra Farrell, a soulful genius, with a once-in-a-generation gift for conjuring both bright or shadowy works that long haunt the ear and pleasantly disorient the mind. Let's set the tone for our talk with The Sea off 2019's Washington by the Sea. Farrell, thanks so much for being on the show this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Just waking up.
That's true. You're in Central Time, aren't you?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I'm on New York City time over here in the Berkshires. So it's great to have you on the show. It's great to find out that you're coming back to the Berkshires. In fact, you were here back in the fall. And it was a hell of a show at the Stationery Factory in Dalton, Massachusetts. And I heard people saying that they wanted to actually come back and see you again and bring friends. If you had done a second show, I'm pretty sure you would have sold out also. So that's a good sign that people are going to be coming to see you Friday, April 3rd at Mr. Finn's Cabaret in Pittsfield, which is where you are. I believe that's the only Berkshire date you got coming up. So we're glad to have you back. What did you think of the Berkshire? Had you been to the Berkshires before or no? Was that your first time?
That was my first time.
What did you think?
I'm really excited to be back. I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
Did you get to like look around at all and spend any time, or were you on to your next gig right afterward?
We were on to our next gig afterwards. That's like the downfall of touring is you don't really get to explore as much as you want to. But you get to plant seeds, so that's important.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And maybe, you know, one of these days we'll have you for, you know, a weekend And you can find a tour guide to take you around and show you some of the sites, because a lot of spots nearby probably might remind you a little bit of your West Virginia youth, because of the hills and the rural landscape. I want to talk about your album that you've gotten in the works, and I want to talk about your tour. But let's go way, way back to visit Sierra as a kid growing up. What was West Virginia like for you, for the music scene? Tell us about give us your backstory.
Well, I lived in a lot of places as a young kid, but probably one of my favorites was in South Charleston, because we lived on this giant hill and you could look all over Charleston from like this giant hill. And there was lots of crows that would come in every fall, and they would come in from all over. You could see them in big groups, and they would hang out in the trees up there by where I lived. And I just thought that was pretty magical. I enjoyed that a lot.
That's so cool. You know, we actually have a Facebook group locally called the Crows of North Adams, and people they track where the Crows of North Adams are hanging out. So I guess that's a thing. What about the music? What were you listening to as a kid?
Honestly, as a kid, I just always listened to what was on the radio. I didn't really know a lot about older music, until I started to discover it on my own. I just remember seeing street performers a long time ago as a little kid, only like a few times, not very much, because you know what? I never really got to travel around as much as I wanted to. We weren't very wealthy established, but it's fine. It gave me good character. And but I just remember hearing old music for the first time, like as a kid. I was like, where do you get to hear music like this? Why isn't this music happening still, And I just fell in love with it. Just like it was just something I really enjoyed, and I was so glad to find it when I did.
Well, your voice does lend itself perfectly to old time music. There's no question about that. But I don't think it's the only genre that your voice would be, and your gifts would be appropriate for. But yeah, there's something about you've got a really haunting lilt to your tone there, and it just seems to lend itself, especially to some of the old timey tunes, like your murder ballad. Was it Rosemary?
Oh yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just listening.
Oh, well, I think that it's just a certain, personality that comes through. What do you like about old time music? I mean, what does it do for you as both as a music listener and a music creator?
Well, I feel like a lot of old time music is it's really sad, and it's easy for me to relate to. And I like something that tears me up, or something that like makes me feel things, because in today's world, it's really hard to feel things. It's you got to like go out of your way to make sure that you're feeling things. And something about just like old stories, old love, it just really captures me. And I definitely feel like it's a past life situation for me.
Well, I think it's also a good it's a good match for the working poor and the poor. I know that I grew up pretty poor. Unfortunately, my kids are growing up kind of poor too, and that's not what I was hoping for, but I guess as you said, it builds character, so maybe they'll thank me for that. But it is the music of the backwoods. It's the music of being played on porches and being played, sometimes on street corners and honky tonks, going way back. And other music is definitely music of the sort of, the well-to-do. And it's a funny thing that people diverge. They diverge with their musical tastes that sort of represent, their worldview. If you had to pin a certain date, when would you say that America kind of woke up again to Americana and in roots music?
Well, Americana is more of a newer term. It's just like I'm not exactly 100% sure what Americana is. I think Americana is like a, it's just a term that someone's made up more recently. That I think it's just kind of clumps the category of like lots of people who play like folk music or something, or and then but then you've got like another group that plays honky tonk style, and then I mean, maybe even singer songwriter is like Americana, I guess.
Yeah. I fight with people about the definition all the time. I don't think we've got one nailed down yet, but I think you're right. It is a newer term. But what about old time music and American roots music? When do you think people started waking up to that again?
And why? You know, people, they want what's good. They want what's real. You know, and honestly, it usually comes from the working class. And then like the people who are wealthier, they get to enjoy it, and then they find it, and then they love it, and then they take it and turn it into something else.
They do.
Which is Americana, I guess.
Maybe that's exactly what that is.
Not trying to talk crap or anything. I'm just trying to make an understanding.
No, I get it. And you know, we have a lot of say festivals in the area, and mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have like the most American roots festivals, but we sure have a lot of them around here. We've got the Green River Festival in the summer, which has been around for a while. We have the new Black Bear Festival in Connecticut. That's just a couple years old. We've got a brand new one that's just, I think, a year old. The Arcadia Music Festival, a folk music festival. And then, of course, we've got Fresh Grass here in North Adams, which has been around for a while. I know that you've got a new album coming out, but before we get to that, why don't you tell us just a tiny bit about Washington by the Sea and how that came to be?
Okay. Well, Washington by the Sea, I lived in Washington State for a while, which I just recently revisited, and it was pleasant because I love Pike Place Market a lot. Well, I was living out there for a while. I thought I was in love with someone, like most people think, like most stories start or end up getting to. I thought I was in love with someone out there, so then I sacrificed a lot of myself to try to make it work. So I made myself very available, and I lived in my van for a while. I've also lived in like my friend's car when my van wasn't there. Because I'd go back and forth between like there and other places, Tennessee being one of them, and Nashville, because I did recording here. But yeah, I lived up there, and then I would go to Port Townsend a lot and bus to Pike Place Market. That was like my job, you know, that's how I made money. And I just like slowly started writing songs a lot because, and then I guess it was because I was by the sea, so I named it Washington by the Sea. And then eventually I figured out that it was not healthy, which I knew that for a long time, but I just kept thinking it would change because people say things and they don't always mean them. And then I moved to Nashville, and then I lived here. I've been living here for about 2 years now, 2 years and some months now. So.
Nice. Well, it's a great, and we'll provide a link to your Bandcamp page where people can listen to the entire album and buy it. And that way they'll sort of prime themselves for the next one. I lived in Seattle for 5 years and change. And it was back in the early or mid 90s. So it's probably before your time there, but it was pretty cool. And I also, left there after certain promises were not fulfilled.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just something about Seattle. You go there and it breaks your heart, and you go back to lick your wounds. I ended up.
What a place to be depressed.
Right? I mean, it's already built in. It's like, you know, the gray skies yeah. for 7 months a year. It's like you might as well start your heartbreak in Seattle. It might as well. And I moved. I moved back to Tennessee, to Knoxville, to be with family, where my brother, we had a band actually for a while, but I moved back to Tennessee and started rebuilding my poor broken heart, I guess. So maybe that's one thing that Tennessee is good for, rebuilding your broken heart. I will say that I love the album. It has a really good flow to it. It has a really good mix of both like 1920s jazz guitar in there that I love, that I didn't expect. It's got some sort of honky tonk, you know, sort of standard sounds. And the song that my daughter's parakeets love the most, I'll Come Off the Mountain, they go crazy when I play that. I'm not sure why it appeals to budgies as much as it does, but they love I'll Come Off the Mountain. So just tell us about that song.
The song I'll Come Off the Mountain, that's a very old-timey sounding song. It's, you know, like three chords on the truth, or which at the time, you know, I was going through some things with the guy, and it was obvious that he was interested in other people. And I was, right when I was writing that song, he loved me the most, probably, out of all the chicks. And honestly, I think it's just because he liked my singing and my music interest and taste. I was more of like a trophy, I guess. And with this guy that I was super interested in, he's a really amazing old time fiddle player. So I was playing old time guitar with him a lot, and he really helped bring my taste of guitar playing to a better level. And so I do appreciate him for that. And so when I wrote that song, it's almost got like an Irishy taste to it, you know?
Yeah.
If you think about it, like just like even like the melody is like super, super Irish, especially if you like look up a lot of those old Irish ballads and that sort of situation. It's like almost identical.
Yeah. Well,
maybe my accent.
Well, I mean, think about who's in Appalachia. You know, it's largely Scotch Irish mixed with some Cherokee and some African American, but there's a lot of Scotch Irish in that music, so I'm not surprised at all. And I guess since I brought it up before, murder ballads are interesting things, and I have my hypotheses about murder ballads and why they're so popular. But Rosemary has just a classic murder ballad structure and delivery. What do you think continues to make murder ballads so popular?
Well, you know, people like to watch things suffering from a distance. People, it's like, you know, it's really weird. It's really weird how that is. People want things to be going through pain and suffering because we all go through pain and suffering. And I guess it kind of makes people feel more normal whenever they realize that other people are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And I guess with that song, it's also just like, you know, there's a lot of like fluctuations of the song, like the setup of it. There's a lot of, it goes quick, it goes fast, and then it goes slow. There's like a lot of changes in it, which I feel like it's kind of a
metamorphosis.
Yes.
There we go.
Because there's so many different changes in it. It's like, you know, there's like just like in real life, there's so many different changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess it's just, you know, and like everyone, you know, like we all have bad guys in our lives. And sometimes it's good to like put that bad guy, especially with Rosemary, and name them Rosemary and then get them off your back and kill them.
That's true. And I guess it's also people, they, you know, a lot of us have a Rosemary and in our lives, in our past, who kind of screwed everything up for us. Even though it probably wasn't Rosemary, it was probably the guy
a little bit of all of it.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, like Rosemary knew what the score was. She didn't have to step in. Nobody asked her to step in. But, you know, then again, nobody asked him to open the door for her. But the idea that, you know, most of us know we're probably not going to dig a shallow grave for our, you know, runaround partner and his
absolutely
sweetheart.
That's illegal.
That's illegal. We're probably not going to do that, but it does taste really savory to kind of live vicariously through the song that allows us to think, yeah, that's what they deserve, even though, you know, we're not going to do that. But it does feel kind of nice to think that.
You don't want to take anyone's life, ever.
No.
That's why pretending is fun, because there's nothing wrong with pretending.
There's nothing wrong with you're not pulling a trigger, you're pulling an E string, and boom.
Yeah, exactly.
So exactly. Now that we make sure we clear that up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's no need to go digging around in the hills in West Virginia or Seattle.
Just pick up a guitar.
We'll just pick up a guitar. So, those are the two I wanted to talk about. I would love to play I'll Come Off the Mountain, maybe at the back of this conversation when we get there on the podcast, if that's cool with you.
Absolutely, I would love that.
And I'll let people go find Rosemary themselves. I won't spoil it for them. So
I don't think it's a video.
That's true. They can go check out the video. I'll put a link to the video in the show notes. There we go. Thank you. That's the solution I'm looking for. Talk to us about this next album,
which I am so excited for. I was going through a lot of emotions like for this record, because I just, you know, it's been some years since I've recorded, and I was ready to finally get all these songs down, because I've been writing like crazy. And I've just been really excited about recording it. And you know, I'm on a record label now. I'm with Rounder Records, and they're just taking their time, which is, you know what, they weren't doing anything wrong. I was just ready to go, and I was sitting around for a few months not doing much, and I was getting a little sad and depressed. But honestly, out of the waiting, that I guess this might have been their power move. Out of the waiting, I did a co-writing with like a couple new songs, and they're like my favorite, and they're going to be on my new record. And it's a co-write I did with a good friend of mine, Oliver Craven. I don't know if you know who he is, but he used to play with the Straybirds. But so it's going to be on the new record. I'm really excited about it. I don't know if you know who Roy Hoffman is, but he is an amazing, amazing player. He's blind and he can play. He can play like any instrument, really. It's insane. And Gary Petroza is doing the producing with this guy named Stu Hibbard, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Nate Leith is going to be playing fiddle on it, he's the guy who tours with me often.
Yeah.
So he definitely needs to be on it, because he's kind of like the flavor that I've created around me, and he's stepped up and gladly taken the position to be the fiddle player. And so there's going to be 13 songs on it. And I'm in the works of making some new videos. So I'm gonna have some videos to be released with the album, which would be, you know, really nice.
What's your time frame like? What are you hoping for the release?
Well, we recorded the album in 3 days. We recorded 4 songs a day.
Wow.
That's something to say. That's really phenomenal. I did my vocal tracks then, but they want me to come in and maybe do some other takes on a couple of them just to do it.
It's good to have
it's good to have options, but I'm really, you know, I'm the type of person, like, I like to use the raw stuff, but I get it like looking over, and plus there's some harmonies that need to go in. So I need to bring in some people to do harmonies over things to, you know,
right,
layer it up. Plus harmonies are amazing. They're my favorite. I love harmonies.
So, spring, May.
I would probably say spring. Spring, okay. Summer. I'm not really in charge of that stuff anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, you can get in a groove, and you can just jam. I mean, you can record an album, like you said, 13 songs is really giving people their money's worth too. That's a lot. But you can do that, and then there's the editing, which is can be
the fun part.
It's the fun part. It can be tedious. It can be time consuming. You get
That's
to make
why I'm joking.
Yeah, well, you get to make a lot of choices that kind of either you know, pull it all together or fuck it all up, depending on you know, how you go. And the sad thing about, well, actually, the good thing about living in the 21st century is that if you decide, later on, I don't really like what I chose there, you can re-release, and that's what digital is all about. You can re-release things, though, probably you want to hit the mark the first time around. With me, I do a podcast. I don't really have a choice. I have to like pretty much edit it once and be done with it and move along. Nobody wants to hear me twice. I'm not sure some people want to hear me the first time, but the well, my mother always said I had a face for radio. So the shows that you've got coming up are going to keep you busy throughout that. I'm looking at your schedule on your website now, and you are one busy lady. You've got March 13th, you are in Ohio, and then you're blasting off. 29th, you're in LA, and then you're back on the East Coast in Connecticut on April 2nd. And then Pittsfield, as we said, April 3rd here in the Berkshires. And then you're just, Missouri, Nebraska, Colorado, you're doing a lot of Colorado shows. Wow. Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee. And this is taking you all the way through June. Looks like you're pretty full through June, and then it slows
Yeah,
down a
that's what
little
I
bit.
wanted.
Yeah.
I've been up for a lot.
Now you were talking a little bit on the top of the show about the traveling and this coronavirus situation. Do you think that there's a lot of musicians out there that are kind of wondering if maybe that's a good idea.
Listen, I'm a hypochondriac. And like my mom is the worst. So like, I grew up, my mom has always been a hypochondriac, still is a hypochondriac to this day. And I've had to pull her out of anxiety attacks a lot throughout my life. Her like, I'd have to rock her and pat her on her back and help her breathe, to calm her down. And I really dodged a bullet with that one because I found it in myself as well because, I grew up with it.
Right.
So there's some times when I was a kid that I did some fucking weird, I did some, I'm sorry, sorry, my language.
This is a
I did some
podcast.
weird
You can say
things.
that, yeah.
Okay. I did some weird things as a kid because I thought that, my eardrums were going to explode or there was like ants all over me or I couldn't swallow. So I didn't eat for 2 weeks and I had to go to the hospital. And like, I did some weird things. I was a very strange kid. I still a strange adult, but at least I can find more. It's easier to find like-minded people as an adult because you can search for them or,
Yeah.
go out and they find you or whatever. What was the question again? Oh, about the
Well,
current. Oh, yeah, I
oh, it's
know.
about
Okay.
the
Well,
virus thing, yeah.
the virus. Okay. Well, I'm totally freaking out. I literally just want to stay in my room and burn sage and drink lots of water. Because honestly, I just got back from touring and I was just in the Dominican Republic, and then I was just in Seattle and San Fran where the outbreaks started. But they weren't there whenever, at least that we were aware of while we were there. And then we went to the Dominican Republic because we played Avis on the beach, Nate, Lisa, and I. And then we were checking our phones and they were like, state of emergency, it's in the virus is now in Seattle and California. And we're like, we were just there, like flying and driving too and playing gigs. And then, so after the Dominican Republic, we came home, which was just not that long ago. It was a few days ago, really. I came down with some issues with some symptoms that were exactly the same. Like I couldn't breathe. Like I was having hot flashes of having a temperature off and on. My lungs were hurting. Like it was just like all the same symptoms, and I was freaking out. And then so I went to the doctor, and then I had them test me. But there's only so many tests in Nashville. There's literally like 85.
Wow.
But you know what? Like it is a flu, and we are gonna get through it. But it's still really scary. Nobody wants to get sick.
No, and the other thing about it too is that like every time it lands in somebody else, it gets a chance to mutate into
Absolutely.
something uglier. And so I think you definitely want to want to take every precaution, and we want to make sure that you pass out hand sanitizer at your shows, probably.
I might stop and buy a big one if there's any left. You know, everyone's freaking out buying all the toilet paper and the bread and the milk.
You can make it with aloe vera and isopropyl alcohol if you need to. Aloe vera gel, yeah, and isopropyl. I don't know what the exact ratios are, but you probably figure it out.
You probably look it up.
Yeah, so that would be a thing. And, you know, who knows? Maybe if you could find little bottles, you could get special labels, you know, Sierra Ferro labels, mm-hmm. And you could just sell them as merch.
That's
right?
Really smart.
Sierra
wow.
Ferro, Sierra cares about you. Sierra wants you to be healthy.
I do. That's why I canceled my show. But it only turned out to be an upper respiratory infection. There was a period where we were like, because like my fiddle player has it too, and his girlfriend Audrey, my Calpine, has it too. So we were just like freaking out. Well, we all were traveling together as well.
Sure.
And they told us to self quarantine us until they knew, and like we were supposed to wait 4 days, but they called us back at the end of the second day. Thank God.
Right.
And but our symptoms were getting better each day, so we were optimistic.
Well, that's really good. That's really good news. And you know, look, nobody. I don't think anybody is taking it lightly. But you do kind of have to joke about the morbid things in life. Otherwise, you go crazy.
Absolutely. That's why I write murder ballads sometimes.
Right, there you go. Right. Well, we're going to have you all to ourselves in just another, not quite a month. So April 3rd, this has been, I don't tend to run interviews the way other people do. You've probably noticed that over the last 45 minutes. We just kind of freewheel. We just kind of go wherever we want to go. And you have been better than almost any guest I've ever had at this sort of unrestrained, unscripted experience. So I thank you for that.
Well, it's easier for me just to wing it than have a schedule.
There you go. So this is perfect. I'll have you on again now that we know that it works so well. Sierra Ferrell, we will provide a link to sierraferrellmusic.com where people can find out all about you. They can check out your tour schedule. They can get merch right there at your store. And they can read about all the great things that other people have to say about you, including places like, everybody's written about you. You are America's darling. Yeah, Mountain Times, The Boot, Variety, NPR Music, Mother Church Pew, Wide Open Country. And here we go. No Depression. I was going to say, if No Depression hadn't, I would have been shocked and amazed. And, of course, maybe you will so generously add whatever the heck I write about you, and that'll make it there too. Anything else you want to add? Anything else we should know about Sierra?
No. I've got some new t-shirt designs that I'm going to be bringing with me.
Oh,
on
cool.
My tour.
Are they online or no? Not yet.
I don't think they're online yet. Okay. So they're just like you have to just get them exclusively at the show.
I'll be there. I will be there to get mine. That's for sure. All right. Well, Sierra, it's been a pleasure. I thank you. And I hope that we hear from you again real soon. Take care.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Heather on the hillside, monsters in the tree. I'm around your mouth because you're sweet like honeybee.
be so sweet and fine. Stain your lips and mine. Your fingertips age in the grip and trace my face outline. Once we're in her presence, now to me you won't be kind.
That was Persiera's own suggestion, I'll Come Off the Mountain, also from Washington by the Sea. Now, I have to tell you, I've done several hundred interviews, and I've enjoyed them all. Every once in a great while, though, I get the chance to speak with someone who's so open and so honest and seems such a real kindred spirit that I actually forget here and there that the conversation is for a podcast, you know, like part of my job. And then I almost feel kind of possessive about it. Like, you know, wait a minute. Do I have to share that with everybody listening? And of course, that's when I know that I have just captured a classic interview to file. And so, yeah, I'm going to share it, but you know, still. So I'd like to think that you'd have gotten your money's worth if I'd ended the show right here. But we still have the dessert course to follow that hearty entree. And we'll kick off this set with Golden Silhouette by Brianna Nelson, another artist who came to my attention via Reverb Nation. At the age of 15, she was cast for season 6 of NBC's The Voice. Like many artists, her performance schedule has been impacted by the pandemic, but my latest intel places her as a student at the Berklee College of Music, studying songwriting and vocal performance. So maybe, as venues open up, you can catch her perform in and around Boston, Massachusetts this fall. New York City-based musician Tiffany Thompson brings us Human Life, which was written for the women at Willow International in Uganda. Willow International benefits survivors of the human trafficking trade and is an organization near and dear to Tiffany's heart. All proceeds from the song will be donated to Willow International. Check out the show notes for more information about Tiffany and about how you can help. Indiana native Darby O'Bell wraps up this episode with the very inspirational Hold On from 2018's Away It Falls. She's performed and taught all over the world in such countries as Germany, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Japan, Scotland, Ireland, England, Australia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Africa, and of course, all over the United States. Darby acts and dances as well, and like many artists, will be eager to fill up her calendar when venues start booking again. Right now, though, let's have a listen to Brianna Nelson and Golden Silhouette.
Shadows of peripherals, some could say invisible alone. What have I become? Did I not stay in touch, or was that just not enough? Oh, I don't know what I did, what I said, so I wait for when I feel at peace the most. In those moments that show me my golden silhouette, that make me feel taller than I have ever been. Oh, it's the moments that show me my silver linings, and I realize I've had the light all this time within. Oh, it's those moments, my golden silhouette. Oh, it's the moments, my golden silhouette. Oh, I'm searching for it. Golden silhouette.
one seems to want me for me, so I let it beam silent. Don't know what to do next. Maybe I'm not meant to be surrounded by many. It's those moments that show me my golden silhouette, that make me feel taller than I have ever been. Oh, it's those moments that show me my silver linings, and I realize I've had the light all this time. It's been, oh, it's those moments, my golden silhouette. Oh, it's the moments, my golden silhouette. Oh, I'm searching for it. My golden silhouette, oh, it's the moment. My golden silhouette, oh, it's the moments, those moments. So I'm searching for it, oh, for it. Cause it's those moments So I'm searching for it, oh, for it. My golden silhouette, oh. Take a walk with me to the willow tree. Hear hidden memories of another's life. Don't you love the way she can bend and not break underneath the weight and wrongs of life? They can't put a price on human life. It's a twisted game evil people play, thinking if they sold me, it means that they own me, it means that they own me. Can't put a price on a human life. My eyes fear the dark and my body bears the scars. But I've got a resilient heart and a home for the restart. Now I'm free to dance, rise up and dream. I make heaven real in the face of adversity. Cause I am free, I am faith, I am hope in a hideaway. I am love, I am brave. I'm not afraid to stand up to hate. They can't put a price on a human life. They can't put a price on a human life.
Quieting the need to know. that comes my way. If you can hold on till the morning, I'll meet you there. Don't give up, don't shut down. There's more of us around who know exactly what you're going through. The greatest sleep you've yet to take is with you. Hold on, hold on. The waves are crashing down. Hold on, hold on. His hands are reaching out. Hold on, hold on. The morning's coming round and the sun is coming out too. Break you, so let your voice be heard, 'cause no one cares like you do. The games they play don't hold a match to what you will do. If you choose, if you can hold on till the morning, I'll meet you there. Don't give up, don't shut down.
Just a tremendous collection of gorgeous, I guess, voices this episode, including that last one belonging to Darby O'Bell. And all of them really so unique and memorable. That's one of the traits we strive to include here on the Cornbread Cafe. You can always listen through the website, of course, but you can also order us up to go via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or through a quality podcatcher like Downcast. Subscribe now. Listen whenever you want. Again, thanks for listening. Take care.